gerne få lov at introducere vores tale her. Og vi vil også gerne få lov at sige et specielt velkommen til de, der ser med i hjemmene, hvor dette program vises. Vi sender her fra Himmelandsgården, som ligger på Alsodde i Nordjylland. Og vi er samlet til en konferens, der hvor Adventkirkens medlem er samlet for tilbedelse, forkyndelse, undervisning, fællesskab. Så I er også hjertelig velkommen til at tage del sammen med os. Og lad mig introducere Patrick, som står her. Næsten nordmænd, men han ser ikke sådan ud. Hvorfor siger jeg det? Jo, fordi at Patrick har faktisk arbejdet som præst i Norge, i Nord-Norge og i Oslo i, hvad regner det til? 14 år. Men nu arbejder han som præst på Newball College. Og faktisk, Patrick, jeg ved ikke, om jeg skal sige det her nu, men min pige, som bor derovre, hun siger, Patrick har altid noget godt at sige. Så nu får vi, når det nu lever op det. Nej, men vi glæder os til at høre dig, og vi ved, at du er en åndelig vejleder og en inspiration for de unge mennesker derovre. Jeg er glad for, at du vil komme hertil. Patrick kommer at tale på engelsk, men han forstår udmærket godt, hvad vi siger nu, så I kan ikke tale bag ved hans ryg. Patrick har også en familie, som desværre ikke er med os her, men bare nævne det. Du er gift med Kari, som kommer fra verdens nordligste by, tror jeg. Ja. Og I har tre børn sammen. Men hjertelig velkommen til Danmark og til Himmelandsgården, og til at dele tanker med os. Og også til dig, Janne. Tak for at du igen vil oversætte. Fint. Vær så god.
Tak skal du have. It's nice to be with you here.
Det er dejligt at være sammen med jer her.
I should just say hello, bring greetings from my wife, Kari.
Jeg vil bare sige hej og have hilsner fra min kone.
And also from Kirsten and Karsten Østerlundqvist, those of you who may know them.
Også fra Kirsten og Karsten
Lundqvist.
Lundqvist, hvis til dem af jer, der kender dem.
What I want to talk about these next four times that I'm speaking is a topic that has become more and more dear to my own heart.
Det jeg vil tale om over de næste fire møder, det er et emne, som ligger rigtig tæt på mit hjerte.
And I would say it's a growing passion within my own self.
Og det er noget en voksende lidenskab for mig.
Tell me, how would you describe an evil person?
Hvordan vil I beskrive en ond person?
Now you're gonna have to say it in English, okay? Just give me a couple of words to describe an evil person. What would you use?
Hvordan vil I beskrive en ond person? Hvad for nogle ord vil I bruge?
Mean.
Led.
Anything else? Egoistic.
Egoistisk.
Anything else? Selfish. Cruel. Selfish.
Selvisk. Og ja, led.
Maybe it's easier to think of some examples of an evil person.
Måske det er nemmere at tænke på nogle eksempler om onde mennesker.
If you were to think of an evil person, who would you think? Give me.
Hvis I skulle tænke på en ond person, hvem ville I tænke på?
Can you think of an evil person?
Kan I tænke på en ond person?
Hitler. That's a good example. Anybody else?
Hitler var et godt eksempel. Er der andre?
Ceausescu. Pol Pot. Oh, we're very political here, huh?
Nu vi bliver meget politiske.
Saddam Hussein. We can think of all kinds of people, can't we? Yes.
Saddam Hussein, og vi kan komme i tanke om mange mennesker, også that, Josef Fritzl.
That was somebody I was going to mention.
Det var en, som jeg ville nævne.
Josef Fritzl, you remember him?
Kan I huske Josef Fritzl?
Kept his daughter captive
Han holdt sin datter i fangenskab.
And had, I can't remember how many children with her.
Og jeg kan ikke huske, hvor mange børn han fik med hende.
An evil person.
En ond person.
I remember when I was younger, we used to have a Bible game that we used to play at home.
Jeg kan huske, da jeg var yngre, så havde vi sådan en bibelsk leg, som vi ville lege.
And it was a card game.
Det var et kortspil.
And What you used to have was like sets of four types of names that you had to try and remember.
Og man plejede at have seks eller fire forskellige slags navne, som man skulle prøve at huske.
And so you'd have, for example, four good kings.
Så for eksempel så havde man fire gode konger.
Or four prophets.
Eller fire profeter.
Or four patriarchs.
Eller fire patriarker.
Or four books of the Old Testament.
Eller fire bøger fra Det Gamle Testamente.
And there were also four evil kings.
Og der var også fire onde konger.
And I always remember the name of one evil king.
Jeg kan altid huske navnet på en af de onde konger.
From I was a little boy till now.
Fra jeg var en lille dreng og indtil nu.
And his name was Manasseh.
Og han hed Manasseh.
And it wasn't until recently that I actually read the story of Manasseh.
Og det var først for nylig, at jeg rent faktisk læste historien om Manasseh.
And I got to admit, it surprised me.
Og jeg må indrømme, at det overraskede mig.
If you have your Bibles with you, turn with me to 2 Chronicles 33.
Hvis I har jeres bibler med, så kig på 2. Krønikebog, kapitel 33.
And let's read together there.
Og lad os læse sammen.
It says from verse 1 that Manasseh was 12 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem for 55 years.
Der står fra vers 1, Manasseh var 12 år, da han blev konge, og han regerede 55 år i Jerusalem.
Notice, he was perhaps one of the longest reigning kings in Judah.
Læg mærke til, at han var nok en af de konger, der regerede i længst tid i Judæa.
55 years he had to do good.
Han havde 55 år til at gøre godt.
And his father, Hezekiah, had been a good king.
Og hans far, Hiskia, han havde været en god konge.
But we're told that this Manasseh, verse 2, he did evil in God's eyes.
Men i vers 2, så får vi at vide, at Manasseh, han gjorde onde ting i Guds øjne.
It says that he did all the detestable things in all the other nations that God had tried to drive out.
Der står, at han havde gjort afskyelige ting hos alle de andre folkeslag, som Gud havde prøvet på at drive bort.
All the horrible, gruesome stuff that God really didn't like other nations doing, he did.
Alle de forfærdelige og grusomme ting, som Gud ikke kunne lide, at de andre folkeslag gjorde, det gjorde han.
And actually, as we read through the verses, we will see some of the things that he did.
Og faktisk, mens vi læser igennem versene, så vil vi se nogle af de ting, som han gjorde.
Verse 3, he rebuilt the high places that his father had demolished.
Vers 3, han genopbyggede de offerhøje, som hans far havde revet ned.
A high place was anywhere there was a hill or a bit of a mountainside. They would build a high place.
En offerhøj, det var et sted, hvor der var sådan en lille høj, eller måske på et lille bjerg, hvor de ville bygge sådan et offer.
And so this was a place where they would go and worship.
Og det her, det var et sted, de ville tage hen for at tilbede.
We're told that he erected altars to Baal in these places.
Vi får at vide, at han byggede nogle altre til Baal.
Now, you may know a little bit of your Bible, and you remember the way the priests of Baal used to worship.
Måske kan I huske lidt fra jeres bibel, den måde, som Baal-profeterne, de ville tilbede deres Gud på.
One of the things we know, that there had to be lots of priests of Baal.
En af de ting, vi ved, det er, at der blev nødt til at være rigtig mange præster for Baal.
Remember the story with Elijah on Mount Carmel?
Kan I huske historien med Elias på Karmelsbjerget?
Remember all those priests of Baal that were there?
Kan I huske alle Baal-profeterne, der var der?
Remember what they were doing in their worship?
Kan I huske, hvad de lavede, mens de tilbad?
They were shouting and jumping around.
De råbte, og de hoppede op og ned.
And they were cutting themselves.
Og de skar i sig selv.
That's why you had to have a lot of priests. I mean, you couldn't keep doing that every day. You had to heal a little bit, right?
What?
Sorry, I'm sorry. That's why you needed a lot of those priests.
Det er derfor, man havde brug for rigtig mange af de præster.
Because they had to have time to heal afterwards.
Fordi de havde brug for tid til at hele bagefter.
You can't go cutting yourself every day and be worshiping. That's not good for you.
Man kan ikke gå rundt og skære sig selv hver dag og tilbede. Det har man ikke godt af.
That's why there were lots of priests of Baal.
Det er derfor, at der var mange Baal-profeter.
So that's some of the stuff that was going on in these high places.
Så det var nogle af de ting, der skete på de her offerhøje.
And then you had these Asherah poles, it says.
Og så havde man de her Asherah-pæle, står der.
This would just be some kind of a, often it was made out of wood, just this pole that was used, and often it was sexual things that were going on there.
Ofte så var det, at man havde den her pæl af træ, og mange gange så var det seksuelle ting, der foregik.
It's very interesting, actually, because some of the archaeological excavations that have been done at these places.
Det var faktisk meget interessant, fordi mange af de her arkeologiske udgravninger, der er fundet sted her.
Shows that some of the altars were actually very small.
Det viser, at nogle af de her altre, de var faktisk meget små.
In other words, you didn't have to bring a big offering.
Med andre ord, så behøvede man ikke at bringe et stort offer.
Easy religion, you know.
Det er en nem religion, ikke?
So if the altar is small, you only have to bring a little piece of meat to put on it.
Så hvis alteret det er lille, så behøver du kun at tage et lille stykke kød til at lægge på.
Anything to make religion an easy thing.
Gør alt for at gøre religion til noget nemt.
But we told that he also bowed down to the stars.
Men vi fik at vide, at han også bøjede sig for stjernerne.
Astrology is nothing new.
Astrologi, det er ikke noget nyt.
And then he built altars in the temple of the Lord.
Og så byggede han altre i Herrens tempel.
He went even so far, we're told in verse 6.
I vers 6 så får vi at vide, at han gik endda så langt.
That he offered his own sons as sacrifices.
At han ofrede sine egne sønner som et offer.
He was a child murderer.
Han var en barnemorder.
And then we're told that he practiced sorcery and divination and witchcraft and consulted mediums and spiritists.
Og vi får at vide, at han drev trolddom og tog varsler og at han ansatte dødmanere.
Trying to get in contact with the dead.
Han prøvede på at komme i kontakt med de døde.
Some of these things that I was reading about, actually, it's quite interesting.
Nogle af de ting, jeg læste om, det er faktisk ret interessant.
Some of the things that they were doing, for example, they would use arrows.
Nogle af de ting, de gjorde, var, at de for eksempel brugte pil.
And you would mark them in a special way.
Og så ville de sådan markere dem på en speciel måde.
And in order to find out what the future holds,
og for at kunne finde ud af, hvad fremtiden bragte.
You'd throw the arrows up in the air, and the way they fell down was what was going to be happening.
Man kastede pilene op i luften, og så den måde, de faldt ned på jorden på, det var, hvad fremtiden indeholdt.
Maybe conjures up in your mind pictures of witch doctors and chicken bones. It's that kind of thing.
Måske får du sådan et billede af heksedoktor og fugleknogler i hovedet.
They would cut out animals' livers, and according to the way the liver was formed, that was going to tell you your future.
De ville skære leveren ud fra dyr, og så den måde, den her lever den var formet på, det ville fortælle dig om fremtiden.
Anyway, the conclusion of this is in verse 9.
Men konklusionen af det her, det er i vers 9.
Says, but Manasseh led Judah and the people of Jerusalem astray, so that they did more evil than the nations the Lord had destroyed before the Israelites.
Men Manasseh forledte judæerne og Jerusalems indbyggere til at handle værre end de folkeslag, som Herren havde udryddet foran israelitterne.
And then comes a very sad verse.
Så kommer der et rigtigt sørgeligt vers.
Verse 10.
Vers 10.
The Lord spoke to Manasseh and his people, but they paid no attention.
Herren talte til Manasseh og hans folk, men de lyttede ikke.
God kept trying to say things to them. He would send prophets to them to say, "You got to stop doing this."
Gud blev ved med at prøve at fortælle dem noget. Han sendte dem profeter for at sige til dem, at de skulle holde op med det her.
But they paid no attention.
Men de lyttede ikke.
Could we ever be accused of paying no attention to God when he tries to tell us?
Kan vi nogensinde blive beskyldt for ikke at lytte efter, når Gud han prøver på at fortælle os noget?
So what was God to do with this king?
Så hvad skulle Gud gøre med den her konge?
Verse 11 tells us what God did.
Vers 11 fortæller os, hvad Gud gjorde.
So the Lord brought against them the army commanders of the king of Assyria, who took Manasseh prisoner, put a hook in his nose, bound him with bronze shackles and took him to Babylon.
Derfor førte Herren Assyrkongens hærfører mod dem, og de fangede Manasseh med kroge og lagde ham i lænker og førte ham til Babylon.
You see, piercing is not a new thing, okay?
Piercing er det ikke noget nyt.
It was happening in the Bible too.
Det skete også i Bibelen.
He got taken as a prisoner back to Babylon.
Han blev taget som fange med tilbage til Babylon.
You know, when you read this story in 2 Kings 22.
Når man læser
21. 2 Kings 21.
Når man læser den her historie i 2. Kongebog, vers 21, kapitel 21.
The story ends there.
Så slutter historien der.
So our impression is that Manasseh was just an evil king and he got taken to Babylon.
Så vores indtryk er at Manasseh han var bare en ond konge og han blev taget til Babylon.
But Chronicles adds a very interesting part to the whole story.
Men anden krønikebog tilføjer en meget interessant del af den her historie.
Notice verse 12.
Læg mærke til vers 12.
In his distress he sought the favor of the Lord his God and humbled himself greatly before the God of his fathers.
Men i sin nød ville han formilde Herren sin Gud, og han ydmygede sig dybt for sine fædres Gud.
While he was in captivity,
mens han var i fangenskab,
Manasseh humbled himself.
Så ydmygede Manasseh sig selv.
Interesting that the word that is used for humbled here.
Det interessante ord man bruger for ydmyge sig her.
It actually means to bend the knee.
Det betyder faktisk at bøje knæet.
It's the same word that's used in 2 Chronicles 7.
Det er det samme ord der bruges i 2. Krønikebog vers 7 og kapitel 7.
2 Chronicles 7 verse 14.
2. Krønikebog vers 7 kapitel 7 vers 14.
If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land.
Og mit folk, som mit navn er nævnt over, så ydmyger sig og beder og søger mit ansigt og vender om fra deres onde veje, da vil jeg høre dem fra himlen og tilgive deres synd og læge deres land.
The word for humbled is to bend the knee.
Ordet for ydmyge sig, det er at bøje sit knæ.
If you think of it in terms of posture,
hvis man tænker på det i forhold til sin positur.
When we talk about standing up against something,
når vi taler om at stå op imod noget,
we try to be as big as possible.
Så prøver vi på at være så store som muligt.
You talk about somebody who is really proud, they are big-headed.
Når man taler om nogen, som er virkelig stolte, så har de sådan et stort hoved.
And they stand up as big as they can.
Og de stiller sig op så store som de kan.
Humility is doing the opposite.
Ydmyghed, det er at gøre det modsatte.
It's bending the knee and becoming small.
Man bøjer sit knæ, og man bliver lille.
Becoming small in front of God.
Man bliver lille foran Gud.
And I can imagine that what Manasseh did as he humbled himself.
Og jeg kan forestille mig at det Manasseh han gjorde mens han ydmygede sig selv.
Because if you have bent the knee, the natural thing to do then is to start praying, isn't it?
Fordi når man har bøjet sin knæ, så det naturlige at gøre, det er at bede, er det ikke?
So I can imagine him in his prison cell with this hole in his nose and he starts to review the way his life has been going.
Så jeg kan forestille ham i den her fængselscelle, og han begynder at se tilbage på, hvordan hans liv har kørt.
And in his prayer, I can imagine Manasseh starts to confess to God the way he had been.
Og jeg kan forestille mig, at i sin bøn, at Manasseh han begyndte at tilstå over for Gud den måde, han havde været på.
Because that's really where humility starts.
Fordi det er virkelig der ydmyghed det begynder.
It starts with confessing that what God has said is actually correct.
Det begynder med at tilstå at det Gud han har sagt, det er det der er rigtigt.
And on his knees I can see Manasseh saying, God, I started setting up all of these high places.
Og jeg kan se Manasseh på sit knæ begynder at sige, Gud, jeg begyndte at rejse alle de her offerhøje.
Father, I allowed all of these Baal priests to start doing their things in all these high places.
Gud, jeg lod alle de her Baal profeter gøre alle deres ting ved de her offerhøje.
I set up all of these Asherah poles.
Jeg stillede alle de her Asherah pæle op.
I confessed that I was worshiping all the stars and the moon and the sun.
Jeg tilstår at jeg tilbad alle stjernerne og månen og solen.
And I can imagine his lips start to shake a little bit.
Og jeg kan forestille mig at hans læber begynder at bævre lidt.
And he says, Father, I even killed my own son.
Og han siger, far, jeg dræbte endda min egen søn.
And as Manasseh is pouring out his heart to God, confessing what he has done wrong.
Og mens Manasseh han blotter sit hjerte for Gud og tilstår, hvad det er, han har gjort forkert.
And humbling himself before God.
Og ydmyger sig selv foran Gud.
We read verse 13.
Så læser vi vers 13.
And when he prayed to him, the Lord was moved by his entreaty and listened to his plea.
Han bad til ham, og Herren bønhørte ham. Han hørte, da han bønfaldt ham og førte ham tilbage til Jerusalem til hans kongedømme.
Notice that it says that God was moved by his entreaty. That's what it says in my translation. What's it say in yours?
I min oversættelse så står der, at Herren blev bevæget, da han hørte hans bøn.
Actually, the Hebrew word comes from a word that means a nice fragrance.
What?
Fragrance, smell.
Og det hebræiske ord, det er, at det kommer fra en dejlig duft.
And what it basically is trying to give you a picture of.
Og det prøver at give dig et billede af.
I don't know if your loved one uses a certain kind of perfume or aftershave.
Jeg ved ikke om den I holder af bruger en særlig parfume eller sådan noget.
And whenever you smell it, you kind of go, oh, he smells so good.
Altså hver gang I lugter det, så er det bare det dufter dejligt.
And maybe you get this little flutter in your heart.
Og måske får I sådan en sommerfugl i maven.
It's that picture that is being used about God.
Det er det billede, der bliver brugt om Gud.
That as soon as he saw Manasseh's humility,
at lige så snart han så Manasses ydmyghed,
it made his heart start to beat faster.
Så begyndte hans hjerte at banke hurtigere.
It's like this wonderful perfume that God smells whenever we humble ourselves before him.
Det er ligesom den vidunderlige parfume, som Gud han lugter hver gang, at vi ydmyger os selv for ham.
If you don't believe me, you can look in Isaiah 57.
Hvis I ikke tror på mig, så kan I kigge i Esajas bog, kapitel 57.
Because whenever we humble ourselves, that's where God wants to be.
Fordi hver gang vi ydmyger os selv, det er der Gud han gerne vil være.
Isaiah 57, verse 15.
Isaiah, kapitel 57, vers 15.
For this is what the high and lofty one says, he who lives forever, whose name is holy. I live in a high and holy place, but also with him who is contrite and lowly in spirit.
For dette siger den højt ophøjet, som troner for evigt, og hvis navn er hellig. Jeg bor i det høje og hellige, og hos den, der er knust, hvis ånd er nedbøjet.
You see, God lives in some high and lofty place.
Se, Gud han bor i det her højt ophøjet sted.
But also with those who are humble.
Men også hos dem, der er ydmyge.
And where God comes where someone's humble, that's when he pours out his grace quite unexpectedly upon us.
Og når Gud han kommer til den, som er ydmyg, så er det, at han uventet kaster sin nåde på os.
Because I hadn't really expected God's grace to actually embrace Manasseh in this story.
Fordi jeg havde ikke rigtig forventet, at Guds nåde ville omfavne Manasseh i den her historie.
But what we're told is that God then brought him back to Jerusalem.
Men det vi så får at vide, det er, at Gud bragte ham tilbage til Jerusalem.
There's a principle I want you to learn that is from the book of James.
Der er et princip jeg gerne vil have I skal lære fra Jakob.
There's a song in English that actually captures this thought.
Der er faktisk en sang på engelsk der virkelig fanger den her tanke.
But it's from the book of James.
Men det er fra Jakob.
Chapter 4 verse 10.
Kapitel 4 vers 10.
Humble yourselves before the Lord and he will lift you up.
Ydmyg jer selv foran Herren, og han vil løfte jer op.
If we humble ourselves before God,
hvis vi ydmyger os selv foran Gud,
he comes right there wherever we are.
Så kommer han lige der, hvor vi er.
It's like this perfume that he cannot resist.
Det er ligesom den her parfume, som han ikke kan modstå.
When we humble ourselves.
Når vi ydmyger os selv.
And I like the last part of it because it says when you humble yourself, he'll lift you up. Where you to be.
Og det sidste det er, at det står, når du ydmyger dig selv, så vil han løfte op, hvor han vil have, du skal være.
And in this story, God restored Manasseh back to his kingdom in Jerusalem.
Og i den her historie, så er det, at Gud genopbyggede Manasses, ja, der ved hans kongerige.
The story ends with Manasseh going back to Jerusalem and tearing down all of the altars and getting rid of everything that he'd done wrong. A great revival took place in Jerusalem through Manasseh.
Historien den slutter med, at Manasseh han kommer tilbage og river alle de her altre ned, og han gør alt det, han har gjort forkert rigtigt igen.
And you know what? You will find the same story repeated with another evil king called Ahab.
Og ved I hvad? I vil finde den samme historie, som gentager sig ved en konge, der hedder Ahab.
Ahab, that was evil for so many years.
Ahab, han var ond i så mange år.
And when he got taken into captivity, he humbled himself. And it's as if God can't resist it, and he restored him again.
Og da Ahab, han kom også i fangenskab, og da han ydmygede sig selv, så var det, at Gud også ophøjede ham igen, som om han ikke kunne modstå det.
I wonder what would happen to us if we actually learned the lesson of humility.
Jeg kan godt at vide, hvad der vil ske med os, hvis vi lærte den lektie og ydmyge os selv.
So often we pray, God, please come to us. Please be a part of what we're doing. Please come and help us. We want God to be with us.
Det er så ofte, at vi beder, Gud, kom og vær med os, kom og hjælp os. Vi vil så gerne have, at han er med os.
But maybe the thing we need to be concentrating on.
Men måske at det vi skal koncentrere os om
is actually to learn to humble ourselves in God's sight.
Det er at lære at ydmyge os selv foran Gud.
And I would like to suggest that the first step in doing this is the same as what Manasseh did.
Jeg vil gerne foreslå at det første skridt mod at gøre det her, det er det samme som Manasseh han gjorde.
Is to take a look at ourselves and actually to pray a prayer of confession.
Det er at se på os selv og så rent faktisk bede sådan en tilståelsesbøn.
And that's what I'd like us to just take a couple of minutes to do right now.
Og det vil jeg gerne have, at vi tager et par minutter om at gøre lige nu.
Think about what's happened in the last week of your life.
Tænk på, hvad der skete i den sidste uge af jeres liv.
But if you think you've been too good in the last week, think about the last month then, if you like.
Hvis I synes, I har været for gode her i den sidste uge, så prøv at tænke på den sidste måned.
Or the last year, whatever you like.
Eller det sidste år, eller hvad I nu har lyst til.
Let's take a couple of moments to actually confess to God just those things that only he knows, maybe, about what we're like.
Men lad os lige tage et øjeblik og tilstå for Gud, måske bare det han ved om os, om det vi har brug for at tilstå.
And so what I would like to invite you to do is the same as Manasseh.
Så jeg vil gerne invitere jer til at gøre det samme som Manasseh.
Now I'm not necessarily one for saying your position means a whole lot, the posture you use.
Og jeg er ikke sådan en der siger at jeres, hvordan I sidder eller sådan noget, at det betyder så meget.
But today I want you to actually bend the knee as you go into confession.
Men i dag så vil jeg gerne have at I bøjer knæene når I skal tilstå.
Let's just take just a couple of minutes to bend our knees and to confess what we are to God.
Lad os tage et par minutter for at bøje vores knæ og tilstå hvad vi er over for Gud.
And let's ask him to humble us in his sight.
Og lad os bede ham om at ydmyge os selv foran ham.
Would you kneel with me as we confess personally to God?
Så I vil knæle med mig, mens vi personligt tilstår over for Gud.
Thank you. Father God, we bow our knees humbly before you.
Og far Gud, vi ydmyger os selv og bøjer knæet foran dig.
You've heard our individual confessions.
Du har hørt vores individuelle tilståelser.
Father, we confess as a church that we have not followed your ways.
Far, vi tilstår som en kirke, at vi ikke har fulgt dine veje.
Father, we've allowed all kinds of things to get in the way of your blessing on our lives.
Far, vi har ladet alle mulige ting komme i vejen i vores liv for dine velsignelser.
We confess as your people that we allow our differences to create problems in your church.
Vi tilstår som dit folk, at vi har ladet forskelligheder skabe problemer i vores kirke.
Father, I pray, we confess, and I pray you forgive us for allowing music and worship to be such a big problem amongst us.
Far, vi tilstår og vi beder om din tilgivelse, fordi vi har ladet musik og den måde vi tilbærer på blive sådan et stort problem i vores kirke.
Father, we confess that we allow our own interpretation of things to just create so many divisions amongst us.
Far, vi tilstår, at vi har ladet vores egen fortolkning af tingene skabe så mange forskellige grene inden for vores kirke.
We confess that we're not on fire for you.
Og vi tilstår, at vi ikke brænder for dig.
So Lord, we pray that you would come near to us as we humble ourselves.
Så Herre, vi beder, at du vil komme os nær, mens vi ydmyger os selv.
We pray that over these days together, that you would pour out your spirit on us as you wish.
Vi beder, at i de her dage sammen, at du vil lade din ånd være over os, som du vil.
And that you would come close to us and lead us in the way that you see best.
Og at du vil komme tæt på os og lede os på den måde, som du synes er bedst.
Teach us the lesson of humility, we pray, in Jesus' name.
Lær os lektion at være ydmyg. I Jesu navn, vi beder.
Amen.
Amen.